Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Matthew chapter 13. Are you ready?
Yes.
Verse 10. The disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The revelation of the secret things of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to everybody. Whoever has what I give will be given more until he has an abundance. But anyone who does not have what I offer will lose even what he does have. Everything will be taken from him. I spoke in parables because it is written, 'Though they have eyes, they do not see. Though they have ears, they do not hear nor understand.' So the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in them, 'You will keep hearing what is said, but never understand. You will keep looking, but never receive the revelation placed before you. For a hard skin covers the hearts of this people. They can hardly hear anything with their ears, and they have closed their eyes to the truth. If this was not the case, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. Then they would turn to me, and I would heal them. But your eyes are blessed because you do see, and your eyes are blessed because you do listen. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men of the past longed to see what you now see, but they never saw it. They longed to hear what you now hear, but never heard it." You're to hear, and you're to see. Revelation enables you to hear, and it enables you to see what God intends even before you see it physically. You see it in your spirit, then you see it in the flesh. Now, Paul says that the secret is this: Christ in you. A secret is something that is hidden. If you have a secret, you want to hide it from people, or perhaps tell a few people that you want to be in on the secret. Jesus says that the kingdom is like a secret. It's hidden. The kingdom is within us, but not visible. Among us, but not visible. The kingdom is the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. in one of his other parables about the kingdom, Jesus says the kingdom is like treasure hidden in a field. It's not immediately obvious. It's hidden. But Jesus does not say that he is the treasure. He says the kingdom is the treasure. In the little parable that follows that one, he talks about the kingdom being a pearl of immense value. A merchant seeking such a pearl probably throughout his life discovers this precious pearl and sells everything he has so that he can possess that pearl. The kingdom is of such immense value. So if Christ is in you, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Jesus said to the disciples, "Fear not, little flock. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom." And he said, "The kingdom isn't over here or over there, but the kingdom of God is within you. Hidden, but there." That means that God has chosen to share his secret with you. He has let you in on the secret. Or he has put the secret into you. Now, the scripture also tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. If Christ is in you, his kingdom is within you, his power is within you. Hidden, but present. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Promise Jesus. The power that raised Jesus from the dead and enabled him to ascend into heaven, that is the power that is hidden, but is within you. Such immense power that the evidence of it is to be seen. In that scripture that we read just now, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament and speaks of people hearing and hearing, but not really listening or understanding. Looking and looking, yet not really perceiving and seeing what it is that God desires to do. And Jesus said, if only they had listened, if only they had seen, they would have turned to me and I would have healed them. Because, of course, faith is the product of believing what we hear. And Jesus said on a number of occasions, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Can you see faith only in its actions? If there are no actions, there is no faith. That's what Jesus is saying. If there is faith, there will be words. If there is faith, there will be action. The problem with turning the Christian faith into a Christian religion, which is what man has done, is there's plenty of talk but little power. Yes. Scripture says that religion has the form but lacks the power. But then you find amongst religious people like that, there is little or no revelation of the kingdom. Especially of the kingdom being within or among. If there's any thought of the kingdom, it's always in the future when Jesus comes again. But Jesus makes it very clear to the disciples that the kingdom has already come, because otherwise the kingdom could not have been within them. And the kingdom could not have been among them. With the coming of the king, there comes the kingdom. And you see, the thing that Jesus is saying is it's possible to possess him, but the real treasure is to possess the kingdom. Yes. To know that Christ in you is not just in you, but he's in you to reign. He's in you to rule. He's in you to overcome. That's the treasure. That's the pearl of great price. Not simply that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, but he lives in you to reign through you. So, we are blessed, says Jesus. See, he says to the disciples, you are blessed because you're not like those who hear and hear but don't understand, who look and look and never see. You are blessed because you do see. And your ears are blessed. Your eyes are blessed because you do see. And your ears are blessed because you do listen. And then he makes This amazing statement that all the great prophetic figures of old longed to hear what you hear and see what you see. Prophets were seers. They saw as well as heard what God was doing. But Jesus is really saying to those first disciples and saying therefore to us as disciples, you are more blessed than Isaiah or Jeremiah or Elijah or Elisha or Ezekiel. They long to hear what you hear. They long to see what you see. But the question is, how much do you see? Not just see in the sense of perceiving and understanding, but seeing the outworking of that power of the kingdom that is within you. Now, if we have the revelation of the kingdom, Jesus says we're blessed because we see as well as hear. So our expectation must be that we will see. Whatever Jesus has said, whatever he has promised, we will see. Yes. I went to university and studied academic theology or theology academically. You are blessed because you have not had to endure such things. I have a degree in unbelief. One of the things that, the first thing really that the Lord taught me after my ordination is, man has taught you to disbelieve my word, because basically that's what theology does. It's based on reason rather than on faith. So men have taught you to disbelieve my word. Now I'm going to teach you to believe my word. And whatever you believe in this book, you will see. Now in my naivety, I therefore thought he meant what he said. And that whatever I believed, I would see. Yes. And it wasn't long after that that I saw the first miracle of healing, when somebody, the very first one, somebody was delivered from terminal bowel cancer. I saw. Yes. Didn't have a clue what I was doing, except just trusting in what God said, that if you believe it, you will see it. That cross of nails up there is a testimony to the fact that I have seen the dead raised. It was given me by the pastor of the man who was in his church that was restored to life. I have seen, because God said I would see. Yeah. But he's saying to you, you are blessed. Yes. Because you hear. Yes. And you are blessed because if you have the revelation to see, then potentially you will have the realization of seeing what the word speaks of. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Gary and I went to pray for someone, a member of the church, who had a large lump on the breast that had been diagnosed as malignant. So a mastectomy was going to have to take place. 1 week after, or by the end of 1 week after we prayed for her, there was no lump. We see. Now, who removed the lump? Not us. All the glory goes to the Lord, because he did that. I think he did a lot more than that, because this dear sister had many other needs. And I think there's already evidence that other things have been dealt with too. God never limits himself. You are the only one who can ever limit God in your life. And because he is almighty, you do limit him. You limit him as in as much as he would do as much as you trust him and believe him to do. He is able to do far more. He is almighty. Nothing is impossible for him. But Jesus also says, all things are possible for he who believes. There is no point in us talking about the power of God unless we see the evidence of the power of God. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What limits God? Looking at yourself and thinking, God wouldn't use me. God wouldn't do that particular miracle through me. See, we limit him because every time you look at yourself, faith drains away. Every time you look at Jesus, faith rises up. Yeah. Now, perhaps you think that, well, God needs to do a lot more in me before I can see his power. Why do you think like that? On what basis scripturally do you believe that? There was someone, most of you may not know his name, so I won't use names, but he was a mighty man of God. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And I got to know him quite well because we often were ministering at conferences together, and he actually came and ministered here at Kingdom Faith. He was from Africa. In Africa, they tend to do things, you know, without having to reason about them too much. But he came to the Lord when, I think it was, he was 17. As a result of hearing the gospel and somebody opening up the scriptures, gave his life to the Lord and said, right, now I prove my God. This is the first day he's been saved. So my Bible says God raises the dead. So I'm now going to prove that this God is true. So he got on his bicycle. He lived in a rural area. He got on his bicycle. This is Africa, remember? And he rode from village to village looking for someone who had died. First day, he's saved. Hadn't been to Rafi. Certainly hadn't studied theology at university. He just got saved. Eventually, about tea time, you know, early evening, he came across a woman sitting outside her hut in one village, weeping, holding a little baby that had died that morning. And she was inconsolable all day long. She'd just been weeping over this dead baby. So along comes this mighty man of God, been born again a few hours. Says, give me your baby. Prays for the baby. The baby begins to breathe and is restored to life. He proved his God.
Yes.
You can understand that that gave birth to what you would say was a miracle working ministry. He was a man of great faith and authority. I've rarely come across someone that spoke with such authority. But you see, right from the very beginning, excuse me, he proved his God.
Yeah.
He was not afraid to do that. You know, God actually says, when it comes to giving, giving the tithe, he says, you can test me in this. You can prove me in this. You start giving faithfully to me and just see how I pour my abundance into your life. You can test me on this and you will see that I will do it. Because it's my word, it's my promise.
Yes, very good.
There are many who think they're too poor to give, which is why they always remain poor. Hello. So, Jesus says in this scripture that we read, that the secret things of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. But not to everybody. But whoever has what I give will be given more until he has an abundance.
Come on.
When you have abundance, you can't keep it in. It overflows. Even David said, my cup overflows. One of the ways in which people describe revival is the overflowing life. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water flowing out. Because you can't keep those rivers in. So what do we think? Because God has been talking to us about our mindsets, pulling down the negative mindsets and ensuring that they are replaced by positive kingdom mindsets. So what do we think? Miracles are for some, or the performing of miracles are for some, but not for all. Well, that would be true, but surely they are for all who have received the secret of the kingdom.
Yes.
That God will use some to heal, but not all. Yes, but surely those he's going to use are those to whom he has given the secret of the kingdom, those in whom he has placed the kingdom that is not a matter of talk, but of power. See, Paul says, do all work miracles? And the way that it's phrased in the Greek, the answer is, well, no, obviously not. But then not all have received the secret. Not all have received the kingdom. But the working of miracles is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says you do not lack any spiritual gifts. Now, of course, you don't know you have a gift till you use it. Because you can't feel the gift. So you have to believe that you have received what God has given. And then you can see the outworking of it. Now, this is the strange thing. Why don't you see God healing more people? Because you ask him to do it instead of you doing it. He says you have to heal the sick. Why don't you see more miracles? Because he says you have to do them. You are a worker of miracles. Well, we know God does the actual healing, but you have to heal. And we know God actually performs a miracle, but you have to do it.
Yes.
Otherwise, the scripture would not talk about the workers of miracles. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
You see, so often, because of our unbelief, because of the way in which we limit God, we think, well, I can't do this, so it's up to God. I've got to pray to God to do a miracle, pray to God to heal. No, 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 no. He says, you do it. You have my authority. My kingdom is within you. I am within you. You speak in my name. You speak on my behalf. You command the mountains. You tell them to move. You see, if we ask God to do what he tells us to do, it's not going to work. Because he's going to say, well, wait a minute, I've told you to do it. When you speak and when you act in my name, I will be there to fulfill what you say. What you say because you believe me. And you act on my word. I watch over my word to perform it. So when you speak and you act in my name in obedience to my word, I am watching over that situation and I will perform what you say, because you say it in my name. Are we getting this? Daring to believe it. 17-year-old guy, first day is saved, went and did it. He didn't simply say, oh Lord, if there's someone who's dead somewhere in a village, some little baby somewhere, just touch them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. No, he went and got hold of the baby. Found the baby, got hold of the baby. Well, I was praying earlier this morning about how God wanted to express this, these truths. Gave me an illustration. Somebody with a laptop computer that had been used in all kinds of ungodly ways before he became a believer. So on the hard drive of this laptop, there was all the evidence of visiting pornographic sites and all the sort of ungodly stuff that's up there somewhere. And he was ashamed, now that he'd come to know the Lord, of what he had done in the past. And knew that there was no way in which he could erase the evidence of his past life from the hard drive of his computer. So he boarded a ferry, and when the ship was in the deepest part of the ocean, he threw the whole laptop overboard so that it would sink and all the evidence of his past life, of his sin, of his failure, would sink to the bottom of the sea, never ever to be discovered again. Lost and gone forever, now he was free. And then the Lord said, this is what I mean when I say that you are to speak to mountains and command them to be thrown into the sea. It's like whatever was contained in that mountain, no matter whatever the sources of that need in the past, whatever evidence there is in the life of a person, if you like, on the hard drive of their lives, is thrown into the sea, is sunk, never ever to be seen again. And the Lord said, when you speak to mountains, that is your expectation. Yes. That because you speak in my name, that need will sink as surely as that computer sank.
Yes.
That there can be no alternative.
Yeah.
The computer could not float. And it would sink to the very bottom of the sea. and would never, ever be dredged up again. You see, that's a truth not only about past sin, but it's a truth about whatever needs we address in his name. Way back in the very early days of the revival, you know, we really didn't know anything about anything, and at that time all the sort of the charismatic books that have since been written, none of them had been written. So we were having to learn as we went. And I can remember when we began to first come up against the power of the devil, the demonic powers that were possessing people. We knew from Scripture we had authority over them. We didn't know how we should exercise that authority. There wasn't even a book or a manual that we could turn to that would tell us that. So we had to sort of learn as we went. But the Lord taught me this very important principle right at the very, very beginning. He said, if you expect a fight, you will have a fight. If you expect victory, you will have victory. And I hear, you know, testimonies of people praying for 5 hours for deliverance. And I think, what are they doing for 5 hours? It took Jesus about 5 seconds. And the difference is, if you expect a fight, you'll have a fight. But if you expect victory like Jesus did, you'll have victory. But it's not just victory, you see. When we come up against demonic powers, it's victory over the mountains.
Yes.
It's believing that no matter whatever the nature of the mountains, they will be tossed and they will sink into the sea, never to be seen again, because Jesus watches over that word to perform it. But he says, when you speak to the mountain, you must believe in your heart that it will be moved, because what he is answering is the faith. And he sees the faith. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He doesn't just listen to the words. Yeah. He sees the expectation in the heart. And he answers the expectation. Are we all breathing?
Yes.
So you are going to have a faith-filled, mountain-moving, healing and miraculous ministry
yes.
for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Because the kingdom is within you. And you see, what does that mean in practice? It means that which is within me gets released to rule over those circumstances, be it sickness or whatever. Never ask God a question in prayer. You know, I sometimes hear people say, oh, Lord, will you heal this servant? And how is he going to answer that? Will I? I mean, when you pray, just think, well, how's God going to answer this? And when we go rabbiting on about, oh, Lord, you can do this and this and this, he says, well, I know what I can do better than you do. What are you telling me I can do, what I can do? What I'm more interested in is what you can do because you believe what I've said to you, you can do in my name. So you see, there's a strange paradox, isn't there? I can't heal anyone, but I can heal the sick.
Yes.
I can't perform a miracle, but I can do miracles.
Yeah.
You understanding? Yes. And the same is true for you. You might not have done them all yet. But remember, God has planned those good things for you to walk in. He's planned all those future healings and miracles that you're going to perform.
Yeah.
That you are going to perform. Notice.
Yeah.
In his name.
Yes.
And he's there with you, watching over it, just waiting for you to do what he tells you to do. And boom, then his power is released. So, dare we believe.
Yeah.
You see, there's a strange thing. I expect you to believe everything in this book that it says about God.
Yeah.
Can we have an amen to that?
Amen.
So why don't you believe everything that is said in this book about you? Because
yeah.
It's the same book.
Yes.
Yeah.
If what it says about God is true, then what it says about you is true. So if it says you are in Christ, you are in Christ.
Yes.
If it says Christ is in you, then Christ is in you.
Yes.
If it says you can heal the sick, you can heal the sick. Yes. If you're commanded to heal the sick, then you are to heal the sick.
Yes.
If you, as a believer, are to speak to mountains and command them to move into the sea, then when you speak to them in his name, they will be moved and cast into the sea, never to be seen again. You see, what hinders us is our track record of the past. You know, that perhaps we've come from churches where this kind of thing isn't believed. We have to have a bit of holy hush on a Sunday morning. But we don't want the Holy Spirit to turn up and upset things. Because the Holy Spirit has the habit of disturbing people. Because he's mighty, rushing wind and fire. And really, it would be much better to have a nice service that everybody is happy with and will come back next week for another nice, boring service. While we miss the power of God. So, what are you going to do?
Heal and work miracles.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
All we have to do is what Jesus did. And listen. The Holy Spirit is on the side of the Word. Because the Word is truth, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He guides us into all the truth. He reminds us of everything that Jesus has said, including what he said about you. We just have that little obstacle to overcome where mentally we adjust God's word. You will receive whatever you ask in prayer, unless it's for healing, if you believe. A little adjustment going on there, which... If you abide in me and my word abides in you, Ask whatever you wish, so long as it's not too much and too great and too miraculous, and it will be done for you. Slight adjustments in our thinking. But what's God answering? The words or the thinking? He watches over his word to perform it. So when we believe his word, then he performs it.
Yes.
I'm enjoying this. You enjoying this?
Yes.
So, I'm waiting for a word, Lord. We all wait a long time then. You see, that's not how. That's not how to hear him, right? It's you see the need. And you say, Lord, what are you saying I should do?
Yes.
How do I do this, Lord?
Yeah.
It's not, well, I'll close my eyes and just hope that God doesn't say anything to me about that. I mean, that's... Leave that for the pastors. What does Jesus say? Ask for the pastor's telephone number and you will receive. No. You have direct access to the Father. It's great to get lost in God when we worship him. Fine, wonderful, praise God. But then, having met with God, we go and do the business.
Come on.
Yes.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Jesus drew aside, you see. He might spend all night praying to his Father. But when it came to the daytime, you know, and 10 lepers came, he didn't say, wait a minute, I've got to go and have a prayer meeting.
That's it, absolutely.
He didn't say, wait a minute, I've just got to see if I can hear what the Spirit's saying here. He was already primed. He was already ready because he'd met with God. Met with his Father. So he knew the Spirit would show him what to do. Hallelujah. Now, some of you have heard this before, but not the first year students, but it just epitomizes it. Explains, describes what I'm talking about. There was a time in camp some years ago when, as there always is at camp, there was a powerful move of the Spirit. And a lot of people were getting healed. On this particular year, there was a section at the front where there were four people in wheelchairs and a woman was actually carried in on a mattress. She couldn't even sit in a wheelchair. And so they were sort of in a chunk of their own, the front. And a lot of people were getting healed during the early part of the camp, and we had, you know, the testimony board up, and the testimony board was full of healings and miracles that God had performed. But these people in the wheelchair and this lady on her mattress were all too obviously not healed. And people were coming up to me and saying, look, all these healings that are happening are wonderful, but what about these people in the wheelchairs? What about this lady on her mattress? And I was saying to them, well, God will have his way and God will have his time. And on the Thursday evening, I'd been preaching. And at the end of the message, everybody stood up and was praising God, worshiping God. We hadn't got into a time of ministry or anything yet, but we were praising him before that happened. And while the worship was going on, God spoke to me And he said, go down, and he indicated one of these people in the wheelchair, go down to that person, just take their hand and lift them out of the chair. So I went down, took hold of this person's hand, didn't pray for him because God didn't tell me to pray for him. I didn't want to be like Moses hitting the rock when he wasn't supposed to. So I just took hold of the hand of this person. The person stood up, totally healed. So then God said to go to another one. So I went to another one, took up that person's hand, and he got out of the wheelchair, perfectly healed. Then the Lord said to me, now go to this lady on the mattress. I just reached down, took hold of her hand. She stood up, totally healed. There were now two more people in wheelchairs. God said, now go to that lady in the wheelchair. She hasn't walked for many years. I want you just to take her by the hand and walk her right the way around. Because it's a big place. So I just took her by the hand. Now, of course, all this was happening in the front. So everybody could see what was happening. I mean, the place was almost in uproar. You can just imagine the sort of the faith level that was going on. So we just walked around with this lady totally healed. I didn't pray for any one of them because God didn't tell me to pray for them. It's not the prayer that works. It's the obedience to what the Spirit tells you to do. You see, he was watching over the word that he spoke to me to perform it. And there was one lady left in the wheelchair. So I was all ready to go to her, and God said, no, don't pray for her. You have to be obedient.
That's it.
I better finish the story because you'll need to know why I didn't pray for her. So I went back on the platform, and of course now the faith level, I mean the place was in pandemonium. You could just imagine all these things sort of happening. And so many, many more people got healed. It was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. At the end of the meeting, the son of the one who'd been left in the wheelchair barged up onto the platform to talk to me. He said, why didn't you pray for my mother? And I said, well, the Lord told me not to. So he said, well, would you come and talk to her now? So I said, yes, willingly. Now, when I went to speak to her, it was absolutely obvious this dear lady had no faith whatsoever for her healing. Now, God knew that, of course. But you see, the three people in the wheelchair and the lady on the bed that had got healed, the faith level was up here. What would have happened if I disobeyed the Lord, tried to get that woman out of the wheelchair in disobedience to what the Lord was saying? The faith level of the whole meeting was like, yeah. Oh, it's not for everybody then. I mean, at that time, nobody else except the son was worried about the lady in the wheelchair. Some years later, I was preaching at Kensington Temple, which is one of the biggest churches in London. And there was a meeting, you know, a little sort of social gathering and gathering for prayer in the pastor's office before the meeting began. And this man came up to me and he said, you probably don't recognize me. So I said, no, I don't really. And he said, I was the son of the woman that you didn't pray for on that evening when all the people were healed. And he said to me, I wasn't really walking with the Lord at the time. I was only there because my mother asked me to bring her to the meeting. I think they'd come just for the evening. And he said, but when you told me what you did, And I saw that you acted in obedience to God. It showed me the reality of God.
Yeah.
And he said, that example that you gave led to my whole life being totally transformed. And he said, I came to the Lord, and do you know what I'm doing now? So I said, no. He said, I'm one of the pastors in this church. You see, all we have to do is obey. But my expectation was that God was going to do a number on all of them, but he knew better. He knew not only that the dear lady was not in a place of faith for healing, but he knew also what he was going to work in the son. Hello, 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 hello. So you can never outsmart God. He's always so many paces ahead of us. You can never see what is going to come out of your obedience to God.
Yes.
I mean, he can just tell you to do some seemingly insignificant thing, and the fact that you do it can lead to a chain reaction that can be a blessing to a great number of people. But part of his plan was for you to obey him. And that released a whole sequence of events.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's all we got to do.
Yes.
Word and Spirit working together. God just showing us by his Spirit how we are to see the outworking of the Word. We step out in obedience and do it. The rest is in God's hands. He watches over his word to perform it. He knows all the fruit that is going to come out of that.
Yes.
Are you getting something this morning out of this?
Yes.
Let me just tell you one more thing, then we're going to what? Well, we'll see. Pray? Yeah, that would be easy, wouldn't it? Oh, Lord, just put this message into our hearts. But God taught me, I never sort of put it this way. He was talking to me about fruitfulness and the fruitfulness of obeying him, you see. And he talked to me about primary and secondary fruit. I never thought like this. He said, look, through books or preaching or whatever, you are able to be a channel of blessing to others. So that is a fruit, all that is fruit, right, that I have produced. I mean, it's not me, you understand. It's all God. The fruit is produced by God, isn't it?
Yes.
We're just the ones in whom he's done it. Okay. So he said, now all that is fruit that I produce, but then all those that are blessed have been a blessing to others because of the way that they were blessed through you. So all that blessing that is in the lives of others that were blessed through the one that was blessed through you is secondary fruit.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And then he was talking to me about reward. He said there'll be a reward for all the fruit that the Spirit has done through you, but also reward for all the secondary fruit that was the fruit of the fruit.
Yes.
I mean, what an encouraging God. I mean, you know, you just do something very simple, perhaps, very, very simple, and you're a blessing to somebody. You don't know the major effect that might have upon that person's life, and then all the others that are going to be affected by that person. And then, of course, those people are going to affect others. And it all started through just a simple act of obedience on your part.
Yes.
And this chain reaction, and God says, you know, the reward is for the whole chain reaction, not just for your obedience, but for the fruit, all the fruit that came out of that chain reaction.
Yes.
What a God. And all we did was overcome our fears.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
We had that year when all those people got out of wheelchairs, we had somebody very well known, again, I won't mention any names, who was leading the worship that year as a guest. And he said to me after, he said, "Wow, Colin, I have never, ever, ever seen such boldness of faith as that." And I said, "Listen, I wasn't doing anything except just obeying what God told me to do."
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking, "Oh, what faith, what boldness." I was just doing what he told me to do. He said, "Come off the platform, take hold of that." I mean, there's nothing in that.
Yeah.
All I had to do was come off the platform. That's fairly simple. Take somebody's hand. That's fairly simple. Just, and they'll stand up. And that was very simple. Never said anything. I didn't have to say anything even. I mean, it's simple. It wasn't boldness of faith. I wasn't thinking, "Oh, there's 3,000 people watching me." I was just obeying what God said because,
yes,
you know, if God says it, it will work.
Yes.
That's true.
Very good. Very good.
I'm not responsible for what God does. He's responsible for that.
Yes.
But what I am responsible and what you are responsible for is just doing what he says.
Yes.
However, he knows who he can speak to who will do what he says.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What he tells you to do will be very, very simple. Because it always is. You see, on the night that guy was restored to life, I wasn't thinking, "I am raising the dead."
Right.
You don't think like that.
No.
You just do what God tells you to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
You know, it's as simple as saying, "Go and have an egg sarnie." I mean, if he said, "Go and have an egg sarnie," you go and have an egg sarnie. I mean, there's nothing difficult about that. So he tells you what to do, and you do it, and he does the rest. Why should we think it's going to be so complicated?
Come on.
Uh-huh. I mean, I've shown you others before, but not the first years. You see, look. That's faith. But you see, some Christians are such nanas. They wouldn't do that. They'd say, "Oh, Lord, I thank you for this chair. I believe this is a wonderful chair. Oh, Lord, I know that if I sit down on this chair, it will take my weight. Lord, I'm going to now act in great faith. And oh, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. You are so great. You are so mighty. I thank you, Lord. You never fail. Your word never fails. I trust you, Lord, that this chair will take..." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you. I mean, what idiots. "I'll lay hands on the chair, then it will take my..." Come on.
Very good.
You see, it's just the word in action, isn't it? I believe that if I sat on it, it would take my weight. Faith.
Yeah.
That's faith in the natural.
Yeah.
You believe what God tells you to do.
Yeah.
And he will make sure you don't end up on the floor.
Yeah.
Or with egg on your face.
Very good.
He will honor his word.
Yes.
You might end up on the floor because you've gone out in the spirit, but but if you're ministering, it's the others that go out in the spirit, not you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So what should we do now? Play tiddlywinks? Have a prayer meeting? Do some miracles?
Yes.
Heal the sick?
Yes.
Do what God says?
Yes.
Oh, that would seem to be a good idea.
Yes.
Okay, let's stand then. Hallelujah. Okay. Now you've got a laptop. And on that laptop is all your past experience, all your past fears, all the thoughts, you know, not the humble thoughts, but the unbelief thoughts about yourself. On the hard drive there is the record of all the times you've chickened out in the past. There's the record of all the times that you've heard God, but you haven't done what he said. And that lot's going to get tossed into the sea.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So just close your eyes now. You're climbing on the ferry. It's steaming out of port. It's going for the deep water, right in the middle of the shipping lane where nobody will be allowed to fish and look for your laptop. Hallelujah. Now all you've got to do is throw it overboard. And just thank the Lord that all that past stuff is lost without trace. All the sin, all the failure, all the fear, all the chickening out, all the, you know, God wouldn't use me, God couldn't do it through me. It's all there on the hard drive, and it's, can you see the splash?
Yes.
Pew! And now it's sinking. It's gone already. You can't see it. It's sinking into, let's say, 1,000 feet of water. 5,000 feet of water. 10,000 feet of water. Hallelujah. Nobody is ever, ever, ever going to find that thing. Just thank the Lord that you are forgiven, that you are free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Kuratapa, come on, praise him. This is good news. Pura la basata paria letto bacala sita di sandaria letto bacala sita. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura tapara zatapakala zita di sandama. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift your hands to the Lord and thank him that you are qualified. You're qualified because he has given you the kingdom. And the kingdom is within you. You're qualified to heal in his name. You're qualified to perform miracles in his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Kurala Bazatabal. You have the authority to speak in his name. You have the authority to act in his name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just thank him. Lord, I am able to heal in your name. I'm able to perform miracles in your name. I can even raise the dead. Nothing is impossible for me because I am a believer. Now thank him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank him that the Holy Spirit will lead you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless your wonderful name. Bless your wonderful name. Pura la bazata pari aleto bakala zita di sanduma. Bopara zata pari aleto bakala zita di sanduma. Wonderful Jesus. Lord, we thank you for sensitivity to your voice. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank you that you have created us as a people of faith, that according to your word, we are the household of faith. Thank you that each of us here has kingdom faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that as we step out in obedience to your word, in obedience to the leading of your Spirit, we will see the outworking of your word in our lives, in our ministries, and that there will be much fruit for your glory. There'll be primary fruit and there'll be secondary fruit. That many will be blessed as a result of those that are blessed. And we praise you, we bless you, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Just keep your focus on the Lord. Because the Lord is saying, can you understand, my children, that what I have been talking to you about this morning is believing in my love? It is in love that I watch over my word to perform it. It is in love that I speak to you. In love that I lead you. In love that I tell you what to do. And it's in love for those who will be blessed that I tell you to speak in my name and act in my name. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, what a great God. Now, Lord, we thank you for all the outworking that we're going to see of this word this morning. All the fruit that is going to come out. Hallelujah. I just listen to what the Lord is saying to you. As whole different perceptions are going to begin to rise up in the hearts of several of you as you stop limiting God and limiting what he can do in your life. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Yes. And according to your faith, I will move in the lives of others because of you. Now, nothing is impossible for our God. His purpose is that everybody in this room, and even those that are not in this room at this moment, get healed, get blessed, get set free. Faith is rising up now. Because you realize all that unbelief has been tossed into the sea. It's no longer part of you. All those fears, they're gone. Now, whatever God tells you to do, you will do it. Yes. And you know that He will be with you. He will watch over you. He will perform that word which you speak in His name. Hallelujah. You won't be making up what it is that needs to be said. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you. Praise you, mighty God. No cancer shall prevail. No disease shall prevail. In the name of Jesus, no infirmity of any kind will prevail in your life. You will not live in fear of sickness. You will not live in fear of terminal disease. The devil is not going to rob you of the life that God has given you. Yes. You will go full term. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you will set many others free. Yes. In His name. You will do it in His name. Praise your Lord. Now the key is not to think you have to do it. See? You don't have to do it. All you have to do is obey what He tells you to do. That's what you do and He does. See? You speak, you act, you step out in obedience, in the obedience of faith, and then He does the work. Don't think you've got to do the work. He always does the work. But your job is to speak when He tells you to speak, to act when He tells you to act, to do whatever He tells you to do, then He will back that up. But you see, He won't move until you have done what He asks you to do or tells you to do. See, that's the thing. You'll get yourself all in a stew if you think, I've got to heal this sick person. No. You can't. He can, but you've got to do what He tells you to do in terms of speaking, in terms of acting, or whatever. And then He will do His part. Uh-huh. Your Your part is to speak. Your part is to act in obedience to him. His part is actually to do the business. The actual healing or the actual working of the miracle. So we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is exciting. We thank you for all the exciting things that are going to happen in these coming weeks. We're going to have miracles abounding between now and Christmas. So many people getting healed, not just here, Lord, but in the church and wherever we go on outreach. We'll be seeing miracles on the streets, miracles in the shopping center, miracles wherever we go, because we're just carrying. We're carrying something from you that is called the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and just praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Come on, just give him the glory. Hallelujah. Okay, now, just be seated before we finish, just for a moment. I came here this morning ready to perform miracles, ready to do whatever. I knew that whatever God led me to do, he would do. And so I've been sort of just in these last 5 minutes saying, well, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever. And he said, no. What you've been doing is teaching my people so they do the business, not you do the business. You know you can do the business, but they need to see they can do the business. So we're not going to have any sort of, well, let's pray for one another and command miracles. No. You're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. You're going to do what he tells you when he tells you to do it. Amen. And he's going to perform miracles. Just be sure that you've listened and you're obeying. Yes. Don't listen to your soulish desire. You see, my soulish desire would be, okay, let every sick person come forward now and I'll heal you in the name of Jesus. If God was telling me to do that, I'd do that and everybody would be healed. Yes. But he wants you to do it, not me to do it. Amen. I was ready to give a demonstration of, okay, well, look, this is how it works, and get one of you forward. But the Lord said, "Not." He even said, "No, don't do that. Let everybody see for themselves that I watch over my word to perform it." I'm not chickening out. I'm ready. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I thank you for what you're releasing in the whole body. Thank you that you want the whole body to function, not just a few people. We thank you, Lord, that so much fruit is going to come out of this. But, Lord, what blesses me more than anything is that you are glorified by the fruit. So much is going to happen for your glory. And we just give you all the praise. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.